I was in New York at the Sukkot to see the Olam. So, I had a very interesting trip. I was in Brooklyn, Lakewood, and I met about 250 guys, people like yourselves, like ourselves. So it's a chaticha real iskava. Like, I got a picture of what's going on. It was very interesting. The topic that dominated my entire trip over and over again, mamash from the second that I arrived, was the following question. My son, my daughter, is 9, 10, 13, 14, 15. She's in 6, he's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th grade. And she wants a tablet because her friends have. Or my kid is chuckling and shaking, not so much back and learning. And not because Chas Hashem we have at home things they shouldn't have, but the kids in the class have, the neighbors have, the cousins have, the grandparents have. What should we do? I'll be honest with you. I came back from America, mamash depressed. Mamash depressed. Why? Because, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, since the breakthrough of the technology, so people have been warning and saying, and, you know, everyone said that. It's okay. We put our heads in the sand. We survived Auschwitz and Shanghai, even worse, and other things. So we'll survive. We'll be okay. What I saw on this trip was, Asher Yagornuba, it kicked in. The mom was chuckling. One after the other, mainstream people, mainstream young alike, guys like yourself, exactly like yourselves, including some of you here. And not all the kids, we're not talking about kids going off to derech. We're talking about old school, not having gishmak, not wanting to be yeshivish, not wanting to be this, not wanting to be that, distracted, over and over, over and over again. So, Friday night, Lel Shabbos, I was in Lakewood, I spoke over there in Arlington, and running Shabbos. So I said the following to the Olam. I said, look, your kids are in trouble. They're not going to go off the derech, necessarily. They don't need to. But the worst thing is, or worse than that, is that they're not going to have a gishmak in learning. I want to tell you an interesting statistic, which was this gala to me the last few years. I always thought, and I did some research on it the last few months, so I'll share it with you. I always thought that every young man from any sort of from home, from age 19 to 22, is in Yerushalayim. Either here, or other yeshivas, if they couldn't get into here, they go to the Vahena. So I thought that everybody's in Yerushalayim. So sometimes when I have time in America, I sometimes go down to Lairv, and I go to Landau's, and I noticed over the last year too, you know, there's those all senior citizens like myself. And I noticed an army of young people, 19, 20, 18, 21. So I checked. So I went to Amazing Savings to buy some cheap puzzles for my kids. Israeli kids, you can bring back puzzles for $2.99 that have 1,000 pieces. They're always missing one. But it's Beseder. They're happy. They don't have American Musagim. And I go to Avenue M. It's a Mamad Gazad, you should know. You try it. You're fancy Americans. You don't buy anything there. It's only for American Israeli Rebbeim who come in for a day or two. I noticed on Avenue M that packed with young kids that are not here. So I did some research and I checked with people who are on the streets and people who I trust. There's hundreds of kids in Borough Park, Flatbush, Brooklyn that went to work at 18, 19, 20, not going to Shiva. Or they went to Shiva for a year, they went back, or they finished high school, they went to work, a whole new phenomenon. They're not off the derech, so they're not in statistics. They're not in drugs. They go to land or stuff, Meyer even. Presumably, if they go to Meir, they should go to Shachar's Minchas, a Kolshkin. Ma'ariv the Harashos in the sixth parasha. We spoke about that years ago. But they're not learning. They don't have a gishmak in learning. They're not on the program. And I told these young light in Lakewood, I said, look, your kids are in danger. And the danger is, you think that it's because of inappropriate material or Kedusha, and I know you're fed up about hearing about it. So you won't talk about Kedusha, you won't talk about inappropriate material. I know you all think that your kids don't see it. Well, your kids are all Kedusha Elyon, we'll take for granted that they are. But you should know one thing, that if you don't deal with this topic, your kids are not going to have a Gishmak in a Rikiva Eger, in a Ktsois, in a Reb Chaim, in a Borber, in a Rajva, in a Toysus, in a Gemara, in a Rashi. They're not going to have. For so many reasons, I'm going to explain some of the reasons now. And the real challenge that we have as a society is that your children, our children, are people who, parents at work, who are exposed to the world, who have to have some sort of technology in their lives, whatever boundaries I make with the kids, are your kids going to have a gishmak of learning? And you should know that. And what I call the middle ground of Kaiser means not parents who are spit super yeshivish families, okay? And not modern Bahal. People like ourselves who are sitting here, you know that the population of our children is in danger. The biggest danger, Mamashad Asakona, and the numbers are showing itself already, by the way. The numbers are showing itself, I don't want to go through the numbers. The numbers of the amount of boys in Yerushalayim has gone down away from Chloe over the last 5 years, not up. It should be going up 10 to 15% a year. Easily. But it's not going up, it's going down. What's shot? What's happening? You can check the numbers by yourself, brother. You don't have to believe me. I'm not a prophet of doom. The numbers are going down. The numbers are not up. It should be going up between 10 to 15% a year at least. And they're not going up because there's an entire population that's Bachal not making it here, Bachal. They're not of the Devach. They're not learning. They're nice boys. They wear black yarmulkes. Some of them have the tzitzis out. They daven three times a day, but they're not learning. And to a lot of parents who don't realize what they're getting themselves into, it's going to be a tremendous source of agos nefesh, a tremendous source of tzar. It's also a tremendous loss of klal yisrael. But there's no way that children who are exposed from age 5, from age grade 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, that any Rebbe in the world, they can be the greatest Makkishi in the world, that they're going to give them any sort of Gishmak of learning. And I'm going to explain for two reasons. I want to explain you to understand it and spread the word. A and B. A, we had in last week's parasha that I want to share with you two deep things, because if we can understand it, then maybe we can give it over to our spouses when we go home, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our shul. And I want to stress again that if some of you are saying that it's not my kid, it's your kid I'm talking about, and it's your kids, this is what I'm hearing. I would say two horrors. Number one is, in last week's parasha, it says that Edom is called Edom, Alkein Karishmo Edom. He said, Adam, by the way, in the biographical history of Esau, there's very little information about him, except for this seemingly trivial story. It also says that he was an Ish Sada. Those are the two things it says about him. By the way, the big aver is that Esau did it doesn't say in the parasha. It says he sold the Bukhara for a bowl of chalon. And he says he was an Ish Sada. That's the two things it says. That's all it says. I think there's a connection between two things I want to explain. Esau, the Bali Musa speak out, the Bali Mashava speak out, represents superficiality. Rashi brings down even in last week's parasha that when he hit 40, he said, oh, my tata got married at 40, I'm also going to get married at 40. Rashi says he's like a chazir who shows his tlof of his hooves and says, I'm kosher. What does that mean? What does that mean when a guy says, obviously, listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying tifazah. When a guy says, the tata got married at 40, I'm also going to get married at 40. What does that mean, by the way? It means like this. Is the Torah a comic book? I want to share with you a tifazah. The Torah is a comic book. I mean, the guy says he's going to get married at 40. You're a word seach. Shitos domim. Avoid the zor gila rayas, right? And he comes in and says, like he was some sort of brisket, the tata gechasagat, when he was 40, so I have to get married when I'm 40. So Torah brings jokes, Torah's cartoons. He meant it, right? Whoa. I was saying, that's cool, you like your father, Yitzhak Avinu. That's cool, you like your father. He thought he was like his father? Isn't that scary? And the Torah quotes it, and Rashi brings it down, and Chazal brought it down? What's the shot of that, by the way? The Torah brings cynical jokes of Esav or Russia. The shot is, it wasn't cynical, he wasn't joking. Shteitach yicharsameno chazir miyar, shteitin Rashi, chazir is Edom, maret plofov. He shows that I'm from, I'm kosher, I have split hooves, I am not. The answer is that he walks the walk and he talks the talk. So the chazir says, I'm a yeshivish guy. He says, look at my hooves. I'm a chavedi, I'm kosher. I look like one, yeah, but you're not, because your pnimius is empty. You're a chazir. And if you're chitzonius, maybe that's why in Klai Yisrael the metaphor for treif is the chazir. The chazir is the chayef kosher. They should take a chayef kosher, who knows what, who has no simonim at all. And that's really, no. What's worse than treif is the treif who says that I'm kosher because I'm dressed like a yeshivish guy. But inside you're rotten. That's a chazir. Esav walked the walk and talked the talk. He's a Jewish guy. He said, everyone that came and got married in the 40s, Geiton HaShittach. That means the exterior, he took the... Now, if you would ask me, out of the legacy of Yitzhak Avinu, what's the least important thing? I think the least important thing is they got married at 40. There are a lot of other priorities in the legacy of Yitzhak Avinu before when they did a Shittach. But he latched onto it and says, that's us. That's me. That's the chazir. Ha'odem ha'odem hazeh is very simple. Ha'odem ha'odem hazeh means like this. If I want to describe cholent, so first of all, it has a name. It's cholent. It's nizid adoshim. If you want to be more specific, you can say it's a nutritional value like it has on the bottom of everything we eat. Calories, phosphates, nitrites, all the other things, whatever. We don't eat there. Eat from Yidden, don't read this stuff, it takes away your appetite. It's not Yiddish, it's for Goyim, those lists of calories. Everyone knows that, right? Erlich Yid doesn't read the things on the bottom, you just get sick and you go take your sugar pill, and that's all. Erlich Yidden don't read the things on the bottom. So, if you want to know what the content of something is, so you... If you want to know what the content of something is, either it has a name, or it has a nutritional content. If you want to be very primitive, you can tell me what it tastes like. The most superficial, primitive, cosmetic way you can describe something is describe it by its color. When you're describing something by its color, what you're saying is that I got all sensual about it. I felt it. Red, it draws a person in, like Chazal said, by its sneers, by Hilda's clothing of a woman. But there was nothing else that caught his eye of the content. It was totally, ultimately, completely, absolutely superficial outside, cosmetic. And the Torah HaKadosh says, that's Edom. Edom says, the content is not important. The pnimius is not important. But the description that you said has no value. It has no meaning b'chal. There's nothing to it. What's red? What is it? Is it red paint? Is that red Israeli soda from a crystal, whatever it is that they... What's red? Red what? No, it's red. But what's inside of it? What's the kind of thing? It's not important. When a person lives that life of outside without any pimius, that's Golus Edom. That's the Golus we're in. So he's the chazer. He says, Papa, my father got married when I'm 40. I walk the walk, I talk the talk. That's Odom Odom Azer. It's red on the outside, but there's no pimius to it. There's no content. There's no teichen. There's no emes. There's nothing. Mamish nothing. The greatest damage that technology is doing to our children is taking a tidal wave of pictures, images, information, which has zero value. Okay? No consequence at all. No meaning at all. And giving it a chashivas. when you have, in other words, the pictures and the images by the millions, the information, 99.9% of it has no meaning to it. There's nothing there. It has no content, no intellectual content, no spiritual content. And when you take nothing and make it into something, that's Esav. That's an Odom HaOdom HaZeh. That's superficiality at its best. Now, Torah, we can talk on many levels, okay? Torah is the pnimius of the Bria. Torah is the pnimius of the Bria. Torah is the content of the Bria. Torah is the omic of the Bria. A person who's attached into the world of technology, attached, is exposed in a serious way, there's no way b'chalal he can have any shaykhis to Torah b'chalal. It's not shaykh. Because Torah is pnimius and Torah is emes, and Torah is something which has content, and your entire system is addicted and running on chitzonius, on things that catch the eye. Only that and nothing else. So there's two parts to it. Once a person gets trained for that, that's what catches your eye, something which doesn't catch your eye, which has content, which has meaning, which requires work, which requires understanding, doesn't talk to me. Do you expect a child like that to appreciate a hard Tosfos or a Rabbi Akiva Eiger? There's no chance in the world. There's no chance in the world. Because if you're hooked into a world, I'll give you a marshal, okay? I'll give you a marshal. In the world of sports in America, we're not discussing the topic of sports today. That's not the topic, I'm sorry. It's a topic that has no answers, no yes, no. I want to bring out a tifa vart. Most of what goes on in sports in America is nothing. That means, I can understand that if you have a shvera tesis, you want to explain it, right? If you have a shvera rashba, touch it up. Or a baruch ber, you can fatifstach. But you'll all agree with me that to have three people explain why Rodriguez hit a ground ball, why he hit a ground ball, eschatoya nimaskirayom, I know why. Because it was a breaking ball. And breaking ball causes ground balls, because he got on top of it. The Melo. Can you imagine that you have three people touching it up as if it was a Shvera Rashba? And the third one says, B'kahav. And then the fourth one says, is a Shemeya Omaisif. He says he remembers that yesterday he also hit a ground ball. Is a Yehuda Void the crow. And why? So when you start to hear nothing, it's like the story of the emperor no clothes. Nothing becomes something. Fine. So we all grew up with that. But what if you live in that world 24 hours a day? Where we touch up and we scientifically analyze unmetveg in them, unmetutzach in them, unmetutzach in them. And that's all you do. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And then you expect the kid to turn up in 7th grade and hear a tesis? What are you, nuts? His kulei chitzonius, his kulei evrei v'odom hazeh. How can a person like that connect to the pnimius of the world? So that's the gap to pnimius and chitzonius. That's making a chashivas of things which don't have meaning and give them meaning. So if it's once in a while, it's nothing. If you live in that world, there's no way a person can get a tam in it. And that's why we're on the verge of losing an entire Torah. And the Torah that we're on the verge of losing is the children of the people sitting here who are erelich and from and want their kids to be the Bidei Chachamim, but they haven't made the appropriate boundaries. I spoke to Rabbi Yehudi a few weeks ago, Shlita, in New York, and I asked him, what do I do with all these 7th grade tablets? What should I answer them? You know how many people came in to ask me, should they buy the 7th graders tablets? With internet, without internet. He said to me, 7th grade? Where were they in 1st grade, and 2nd grade, and 3rd grade, and 4th grade? What type of message do they send their kids? What's mommy watching? What's daddy watching? What's mommy have on her iPhone? What is she busy showing the kids? Do you know that people show their kids kosher things on their iPhone, right? What's kosher, by the way? and I'm going to come out looking like a major extremist.
Maybe they'll fire me, yeah.
Right, every government.
Can I ask you a question? What are the mothers in Lakewood, Borough Park, five towns, and if I missed anybody, don't be insulted. What are they showing their kids?
Oh, a nice little joke. A nice gishmakazah. Some stand-up routine. Some funny stuff that Tante Brachi drank coffee and it spilled on get these things. It's hilarious, right?
It's kosher, the Mahadran. Nothing traif about it. What could be traif about nothing? You know what it is? It's stupidity. You expect a kid who saw five clips like that to come into class afterwards and learn?
So I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you a secret.
I'm not going to share. You'll hear that side of me tomorrow at 12:15. If anybody's left to hear about that, you know I'm... If you didn't give up on your bummers yet.
You can't teach a boy who saw four harmless clips of war. There's nothing, we can't compete with it.
It's an Adam Adam Azeh. It's something which is sensual, it catches your eye.
There's no Rebbe who can do, compete with that.
So a kid sees Narishkeit, and that Narishkeit, not Treif. We didn't talk about Kedusha.
Nothing, not Narishkeit. But a form of it, and a part of it, there's no way the kid can come in afterwards.
People say, what did I do? Nothing.
Yeah, 100%. If you're showing your kid on the phone every Narishkeit that somebody sent you, and every Gishmaka clip, and every Shein of Vital, and every, that's all a kosher. And this one sang, and this one danced, and this one spilled, and this one cried. It's all good. And this one was emotional, a picture of Auschwitz together with the Kreisel singing, Habet, Mishamayim Re'ei. And the other one cried. And the poor kid comes into class the next morning. And what's the Rebbe supposed to do? If he would be Chweisnishvos, or Milo Biedemann, who was a Jemayer, with Rebbe Usher, and Rebbe Disney wrapped into one, he couldn't compete with what the kid saw the night before during supper. And you expect us to teach that kid? You expect that kid's going to go get a geschmack and learning and steig and grow? What do you want from the kid? He's a malachal kumitzvokas. What? Where? What? How? The second thing is,
and then we'll move on to other things. It's getting later, ready.
Let's say it in a high way, okay? At least say over a whole bit rights, and I'll assure that it says that Nasa Adam Bitzamenu Kidmusenu, and what I'm saying now is even more important than the Adam Adam. Nasa Adam Bitzamenu Kidmusenu. Says Rashi, Lahobin Alahaskel, the Tzelem Alekim, the Neshama HaKadosha, articulates inside a person in Seichel, in Das. The voice of the Neshama inside of us is Seichel, Lahobin Alahaskel, Rashi. Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu, says Rashi, Lahobin Alahaskel. That's the Neshama. It's very interesting. Everything Rav Chaim Volozhin speaks about the Tzelem Alekim, the Tzelem HaKadosha, that a person is created in God's image. That's the Seichel, that's Das. People don't understand that, and it's the message unfortunately didn't get out. The issue of technology, there's one issue of inappropriate material. That's a virus. Major topic. The damage to the youth who are, let's say, not exposed to inappropriate material, okay, is the destruction of the human mind. I was sitting on a plane a few years ago on my way to one of the Meir Yeshivas of Boston. Was economy. I think it was when you were in charge store, Matfa. And there were four kids sitting next to me. Pliny, Almoni, Jalmoni, and Kalmoni. Their parents went to business, a new door. Parents sat in business. They dumped the four kids next to me. But they didn't bother. You'll hear why in a minute. There was one boy sitting next to me who was a 16-year-old, a high school boy, who was watching LL's movie, his own movie on his tablet. He's playing an advanced basketball game that I was in the stall from. Because
When I left America, basketball was, they were playing with these plastic things that you put the ball with water and you pushed it up. And this kid, it was Mamish Mabel. And the fourth thing he was doing, he was wearing very elegant Panasonic earphones, he was listening to something. His sister next to him, the 8-year-old, she didn't say a peep the entire flight. I'm not magzin what I'm going to tell you. It was Chatzil Hashem and Chatzil Lachem. After flight, she was doing on a tablet, making donuts and vowels, picking the dough, the covering, the sprinkles, putting in the oven, taking it out. That took us to, I think, Ireland or somewhere in Greenland. The only thing I can watch on the screen, because I'm Mir Yeshiva Rebbe, is the map. And the most exciting thing that happened on the flight, I was once on a flight, it was crazy. Rabbi Resnick was next to me, and Rabbi Yom Finkel was behind me. And I said, there's no movies on this flight, there's nothing, it's fast finished. And Rabbi Yom kept coming over with all kinds of shadows, I love it, don't ask. Half the flight, this girl made donuts. The other half of the flight, she made a zach, which is b'chol not yeshivish a zach, I can't even express it. Cheese fondue, I'm not sure how to say it, because I never saw it even. And it involved picking the vegetables, picking the type of melted cheese, dipping it in, taking it out. That took us to Newark. I was thinking to myself, Rabbi Namakulo, these kids are supposed to come to class the next day. Their minds are destroyed. Destroyed. And it's a destruction of the Tzelem Elokim. It was funny. I arrived in New York. A day later, I went to speak in one of the Mesiftas. And who came in? Who walked into the drasha? Mr. Multitasking, who was sitting next to me. And I said to myself, I looked at his eyes. His eyes, there was no dilation, nothing. He's dead. And I was thinking of his Rebbe. And I know who his Rebbe is. He's supposed to teach this boy. He's brain dead. Because the koyach of das is the Tzelem Elokim. That's the godliness inside of us. That's the godliness inside of us. The godliness inside of us is das, is seichel. That's the most powerful, most godly, most spiritual, most rufanistic thing that we have. And the world of the world of technology is destroying our kids' seichel. It's destroying their humanity. It's destroying their etzem tzelem alakim. Because the tool with which a child has to shtayin and to grow in rufanis is his seichel. This is das. He understands, he thinks, he fatifsach, sayin hashkofa, sayin midas, sayin learning. That's his tzelem elokim. That's what connects him to God. That's what makes him godly. The flood. So what's the problem if you're showing your kids a flood of harmless clips? Nothing. His brain is atrophied. And the tool with which he has to learn Torah, and to grow and to understand and to bechlal steig and to grow in life in general, it's jolly horse. Then you want to go share a deeper, more complicated, more sophisticated concept with them. There's nobody home. Because as a result of extended periods of non-use, the brain doesn't work anymore. That's the second reason why there's such a big crowd when I live in Landau's. Taylor says they can't learn. So it's true, there are kids who have learning disabilities, there are kids who have, there's no question about it. But I'm telling you responsibly that the major reason for this challenge is the kids are drowning in a world of fantasy. Fantasy of movies, fantasy of games, fantasies of narishkeit, it's not real. It doesn't require any intellectual challenge, any intellectual effort. And there's no way that kids, so we talked about two things. We talked about ha'odam hazeh, which is chitzonius versus pnimius. B'chal, a person gets used to, his eyes are sensitized to the packaging, not to the content. That's what ha'odam hazeh means. Ha'odam hazeh means that I see the packaging, I see the ribbon, I see the bow, but I don't see what's in the box. I never even opened the box. That this is Surah Ahmed Levafna Vaharein Echem. This Hasem says, so Suru comes from the Lashon of the Miraglim, Losser Es Aretz. Losser Es Aretz means Chitzenius. I only see the packaging. So Suru Ahmed Levafna Vaharein Echem means, Guard your eyes. What does it mean, guard your eyes? L'sesurah v'levavka means, I only see chitonius. Losur esa'aretz means, they only saw, they saw the vayus going on, they thought that it was this, it wasn't that. I mean, they only saw the packaging, they weren't able to take a deeper look at anything. L'sesurah v'levavka means, my eyes become totally superficial. I become totally sensitized to the packaging. Imagine a guy gets a present with a ribbon, he never opens it up. He says, what a ribbon, what a packaging, Kvaltik, Nifla, Moiridik. That blesses Rachel about Me'orheichem. And when a person sees so much packaging and so many ribbons, and he's inspired from it, he doesn't even know there's anything inside of it. He never even bothers to open it, never even bothers to see it. That's Primius, that's Odem, Odem Azeh, that's blesses Rachel about Him. And then the second thing we have is the Inyan of the Tzelem Elokim, what humanity is. Das, Seichel. We need to strengthen it. We need to mechazik it. I want to move over to talk about a little bit the aspects of shalom bayis and marriage. I want to speak quickly about four nekudas. It's getting late. And we have studio tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. I want to say four quick nekudas about things that we need to be aware of those who are living in a world of technology and the effect that it has. I'll say it quickly. One, many times you have a light come to me and they say to me that they don't have what to talk about when they get home. I'm quiet. Besides the fact, they say to me that there's nothing that they can tell their wives that they don't know. Used to be, the husband came home from the world, he told his wife, the stagecoach came and brought the news, and this is what's going on. But she already saw everything and heard everything and got everything. There's nothing they can do about it. So what should I tell her? I see some of you identify with the question. Nothing. Finished. Very sad to hear that. I said that the basis of your question, and I'm starting with a minor topic, we'll move up in a second. I said the basis of your question is that you look at your role in the marriage as an entertainer. In other words, you're there to come home and entertain your wife. So you have nothing to entertain her with because she has endless sources of entertainment better than you. You're a hard-working yeshiva guy, you come home after a whole day of work. You're not that interesting. But she has on her phone fascinating, interesting, and vice versa, by the way. I'm not necessarily talking this way. It can go the other way also. What should a person talk about when he gets home, by the way? It's a good question. The news? They know. Gossip? Heard. Not important gossip? Heard. Everybody who drank coffee and where they drank coffee and what they had in the coffee and what they had with the coffee and who they had the coffee with, you already heard. So what's left? Nothing. Tiny's deeper. Finished. We're done. So people have stopped talking. And people stopped communicating. And the quality of marriages has gone down. What is there what to talk about? I know, I see some of you are wondering. So I told the guy that, did you have a traffic jam on the way to work today? He said, sure. I said, tell your wife. He said, my son, she said, traffic jam on the way to work. You know what she heard today on her phone? Catastrophes. Train crashes in Congo. Bar mitzvahs in five towns. Deaths in Yerushalayim. I'm Pine Street in Lakewood, I had a traffic jam. I'm going to come home with my wife and tell that. Better a time is deeper. By the way, I'm curious. A lot of you are facing this challenge. I have no question about it. What do you talk about with your wife? So, you can do magic tricks and coin tricks. Maybe learn Sifsei Chaim together a little bit if you're Harry-ish. What do you do? What's Tutman? So the answer is that the fundamental connection of sharing your life with somebody that I had a traffic jam. Your wife wants to hear it, by the way. Your spouse wants it. Your wife wants to hear it. Because the purpose of communication is not about giving over information, it's not about entertaining. It's about sharing your life with somebody. But that miktsoya, that skill, is not respected anymore because it's all about excitement. And it's all about entertainment. And it's all about sensual feelings of life. And a person feels, what can I compete? So since we live in a world of excitement and triggering people and exciting people, the art of fundamental, basic, everyday sharing my life with you conversation, that art has been lost in appreciation for it. And that leads to either people look for more and more activities to try to keep the marriage going, or talk about faith and you go through. But the quality of a beautiful connection that comes from sharing your life, people are starting to lose. And that brings us to the tifkat that I want to speak about tonight. And I'm going to venture to say that if you'll hear what I say, it might be worth your whole week. Especially since it was your mamas. Listen carefully. It says in Mishle, Ve'es tsnuim chachma. People, listen carefully to what I'm saying. People who are tsnuim are wise. Tznius is a lifestyle issue. How you dress, how you live, how loud your toy is, how expensive your bathrooms are, that's tznius. Chochma? What's with tznius? Says Rabbeinu Yoni and Mishle, I'm going to tell you a life-changing thing. Says Rabbeinu Yoni and Mishle, something very simple. A person who hears something wise. Okay? You hear something wise. Do you have a way to put it? Do you have a way to absorb it? Do you have a way to keep it? Do you have a way to bring it into yourself? He says, if you hear something, you hear a vort, you hear a dvar machshava, you hear a hargosha, and you run right away to share it with somebody else as a Rabbeinu, so the chokhmah that becomes part of you. It's a famous letter from the Altar from Kelm, he wrote to his son-in-law. Altman wrote to his son a famous letter where he wrote that I have a vort that I thought of 22 years ago and I didn't let it out for 22 years because I was afraid I'm going to lose the vort. But now, after 22 years, I can let it out. Because it became part of him, it infiltrated him, it became part of his mitzvahs. Says of Rabbeinu Yehuda that if every time if you don't have a place to put chokhmah, that means your whole life is directed towards the outside. You're in a vort, you want to tell somebody. You're in a joke, you want to tell somebody. You're going to have a hagosha, you want to share with somebody. You can't have shaykhus to chokhmah, you can't be kohen chokhmah because it doesn't even stop over for you. It's not even a stopover for you. It's kibbalah kach potoy. Tznius means I have a private world. Tznius means I have an inner world. Tznius means I have something of my own. Tznius means I have something deep inside. I don't have to live towards the outside. One of the articulations of tznius is in dress. I don't have to dress up for the street. I don't have to show for the outside. I have pnimius. Tznius means pnimius. Ve'es tznuim chachma, if you don't have a shelf inside you to put chachma, because your whole life is directed towards the outside, so you're going to remain bankrupt and empty of chachma. Ve'es tznuim chachma. Says Rabbeinu Yehuda, that's about chachma. I want to talk about marriage. If a person hears something, and the minute he hears it, he shares it with the whole world. You heard a joke. It used to be, when a person heard a joke, a good joke, he saved it for his wife. He came home, and he said it over to his wife. It was a zach that was between him and her. It was something they shared. If it goes out, I'm using that as a very, very low level mashal. V'day l'chakima v'remiza. But if everything we have, we share right away with everybody. Everything with everybody. So we have nothing intimate anymore. We don't retain anything. So you have nothing to share with your spouse.
because you already shared it with everybody, and she already shared it with everybody. So every word you hear, and every hargosha that you feel, and every joke that you laugh at, comes in and goes out. It doesn't even stop there for a second. It never became part of you. So what are you supposed to bond over? Where are we going for Shabbos? What's for supper? Did Shlomo do his homework? That's a marriage? You have nothing to share anymore because you already shared it with everybody else. And everything we do, and everything we say, and everything we listen to, and everything we hear is spread out instantly. Nothing has any value, trust me. There's nothing to connect with because there's nothing intimate in our marriages anymore. There's nothing private. There's nothing that has meaning just to me and you. Because everything is public and everything is shared. So there's no chachma, there's no intimacy, and there's nothing to connect over because there's nothing primius. Ve'es tsnuim chachma. Now, I know that I'm speaking very extreme tonight. I know. And I know that I don't think there's anybody sitting here in the room that lives like this. Hard to believe. What I say is also not true. But most of you don't live like that. But we're all affected by that. There's no question about that. We're all affected. We're all affected by the need and the atmosphere of sharing everything with everybody all the time. So what's left for the zich? What's left for me? In the same way, I don't have a place for chachma, I don't have a place of intimacy to share anything with anybody. Because it just goes in and goes out. Interesting, Shlomo HaMelech already spoke about this so many thousands of years ago. Just so many thousands of years ago, we didn't have the tools to do this. So you had to retain something. You didn't have the manner of how to give it out. I mean, there's a Yetzer Hara to send everything out. There's a Yetzer Hara to live an exterior lifestyle. It has to do with what we spoke about before, about Adam and Adam Hazeh. There's a Yetzer Hara to live like that. It's true. What are you left with afterwards? Afterwards, what do you share? What do you bond? We find in the Torah that Matan Torah in Chazal is called Yom Chasu Nosei. The metaphor of Matan Torah has two sides to it. On one hand, the fact that it's called a wedding day comes to show the great love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. It's true. But it also comes to tell us that a chasen is supposed to look like Matan Torah. What happened in Matan Torah? In Matan Torah, Chazal say, there was no background noise. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shut down all the noise in the world. Even the malachim stopped fluttering their wings. There was total silence. The pshat is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael came together, they came together with no background noise and no distractions. That's Yom Chasu Nosei. So, Matan Torah is like a marriage, but a marriage is like Matan Torah. We're losing that today. I always give a mashal. It's a funny mashal. Imagine you had a wedding in one of the halls, one of the terraces. Depending what the other side could afford, depends which one. The chasen walks down, and they played whichever song that he deliberated over for a month, which song. They finally played it. He walks down. The kala's coming down. And you know our minig is seven times, right? Chosen pulls out his phone and checks the highlights. What's the Elam say? He had a picture? He had that picture? He's under the chuppah with the kittel. Fasting. All men hug him. It's like Esav. Tata. Every does everything I can tata. But he pulls out the highlights. Oh no. The girl starts to cry, pregnant. He says, why are you crying? He says, now's the time to check the highlights. He says, later on we'll be busy. There's a wedding, yichudum, meal, dancing. Chapa right now. It's absurd, right? I agree. Why is it absurd? And what happens if in the yichudum the guy pulls out his phone to check the highlights? Well, up the thing. That's really crazy, right? They're not going to come out for the thing. They will just have supper and go home. The rest of the wedding is canceled. Why, by the way? Why? What's wrong? Well, the guy says, well, I'm just checking the highlights. Is something wrong? Tell me where it says. You know the guy says, where does it say it's also? The guy says he has it over his notebook from the Chosin teacher. He didn't say anything about it. He's doing exactly what the guy said. The guy didn't say, you can't look at highlights. And tell me, what's wrong? He tells the girl, you're an extremist. I thought you went to Wadi Kot. You didn't go to Wadi Kot. And besides the fact, you think I'm never going to look at highlights again? Well, what's the problem, by the way? Because there's no yichud, right? It means it's not the essence of a marriage. When our marriages become public and flooded by a tidal wave of information and background noise, it's not possible to be misyachid with your wife. It means a marriage is an act of yichud. It's true. Matan Torah is yom chasanosa, but yom chasanosa is also matan Torah. And what characterizes a chasana is the hisyachdus, is the intimacy of focusing. We're not able to focus on anything. How can a person focus on anything when your head is flooded by a billion pieces of information? 99% of them are not important, with all due respect. They're not important, okay? The fourth thing is that social media is having a disastrous effect on our world. I want to explain why. It says in Pirkei Avos, "Ha'imer shali shali shachah shachah harizu midas stone." The person who says what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, that's stone. Fakti of Yeruchim, why is that stone? If I say what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, I can understand he's not the biggest philanthropist. They won't give him after Yoina. But he's saying what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. Why is that stoim? Stoim is the epitome, the metaphor, the marshal for rishus and achzorius in the entire history of the world. Why is shali shali shachal shachal stoim? Says Rabbi Yochum, Mashgiach. The entire rishus of stoim was rooted in shali shali shachal shachal. They said it's ours. They wanted to protect their position. They didn't want anybody to take it from them. All the achzorius that they did. Remember from P1A, the girl on the roof with the honey? All the achzorius was that nobody should ever come and collect and slave again. Because we just can't afford it. Shali, shali, shaha, shaha, go to work. I didn't take anything from you. I didn't rob banks. Shali, shali, shaha, shaha. Social media, I want to tell you a tikkun zach. What's social media? Social media says like this. Me and you could have a relationship. You don't have to know my name. I don't have to be honest with you. And I don't have to give you anything. I don't have to do anything for you. I have no obligations, responsibilities to you. Not mitzad honesty, not mitzad chesed, not mitzad anything. And that's called social. In all the years of the Yetzirah and the Satan and the Malach HaMavis, he wasn't able to come up with a Zaham Tzor of the unraveling of the human race, Kipshutoi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Leitoi v'yeisa adam levadoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that a person can't be alone, and they created a matziv of Shali Shali Shachar Shachar, I will give you nothing. And we're going to be friends. Now, until this thing came along, it wasn't Shaykh HaZazach. Because if you want to be my friend, you have to tell me your name. You have to be honest with me. You have to give me something. You have to take care of me. You have to be committed to me. No. We can be social, and I can be completely detached. Shali, shali, shachar, shachar, that's doing. And that's dripping down into our world. I don't think it's dominant in our world. It's dripping down that that's legitimate. That's legitimate. I once spoke about this in front of a group of Bacharim, about the idea of fake names and fake... And my wife said to me, how can you talk about such a thing? The Bacharim don't know what you're talking about. They never heard of such a thing. Bechal. So I said, you know something? My wife is a Isha Chacham. I said, guys, come over here. All of you. My rabbi says, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. In one time, I was right. So, this midas doim of shali, shali, shachar, shachar,
drips down into our world. That's called a legitimate relationship. I don't have to be honest. I don't have to give you anything. I don't have to take care of you. I don't have to worry about you. I don't have to know about you. I don't have to feel your pain. I can be detached from you. And we're friends. And we're married. And we have relationships. And that's called legitimate. That's called interacting. Halei, that's the treif, shebe treif, shebe treif of what bechal we came into the world for, what a root came into the world for. And the fact that such a thing has bechal taken on any sort of legitimacy. What type of problem will our kids have from such a world of achzorius, you know, of all the rights? You know what achzorius means? What's the root of the word achzorius? It means cruel. What's the root of the word? Achzor. I'm totally detached. I'm so detached from you. I'm so strange from you, I can step on you. It's not a word of achzorius, a world of total detachment. And even if it's not dominating our world, but our children are growing up in a world like that, where that sort of achzorius is legitimate. The final thing I want to speak about, and then I'll say some eitzes if you don't mind, because I know... The final thing I want to speak about is our own ruchnius. We spoke about a little bit about our children, chinuch. We spoke about a little bit about our marriages. I want to end off with the final thing about ruchnius, and I'm going to end. I'm not going to keep you. You have to have kaychus tomorrow for the sugya. I want to share with you a maral that I say over every time I speak about this, and that is as follows. I want to tell you a murdika, life-changing maral. The maral asks the question. It says by the Akeda, Shulach and Poyim Achamor. He said, "You, Eliezer and Yishmael, stay with the Chamor. Don't come up to the Akeda." Frick the maral in Pirkei Avos. Why didn't he take the Chamor up to the Akeda? It's a long trip. Why should schlep up there? So the maral, I'll say the abridged version, but it's a life-changing maral. Says the maral. Chamor comes from the word chomrius, materialism, kashmius, choymer. To two people who had a relationship with a donkey, Bilam. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah was ba ala sinai. Bilam was married to his job. He lived with his donkey. That's why it was in a cave. Avram was roichiv ala chamor. He rode his donkey. Moshe Rabbeinu rode the same donkey. Mashiach Tzidkenu is going to ride the same donkey. Says the Maral, even if you're somebody who's roichev al hachamor, even if you're somebody who rides the donkey, you're shoved on the donkey, we'll say it in our shprach, you have a filter, you're on top of the game. You're not like, you're married to your donkey. You're roichev al hachamor. You're on top of your chuvius. But there's one place that you don't take it with you. You know where that is? Nelcho v'nishtachava v'nashuva. Says the Maral, you're going to bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're going into a base of Medrash? The Chamor stays here. Maral says a modern word, a liberal word. V'nashuva! You'll get back to your Chamor. Thank Ganesht. It's waiting for you at Kennedy, Newark. LA International Airport, Chicago. It's there in O'Hare. It's waiting. Daikin Ishmael says, Vinashuva, you'll get back to your Chamor. It's not going anywhere. But the Chamor, even if you have Rav Avinu who's ready for the Chamor, doesn't go to Vinishtachave. There has to be a place in your life where you can be misyached with a Kodesh Baruch Hu without your Chamor, even if you have Rav Avinu who's ready for the Chamor. Vinashuva, the Maral says these words. You can't live without your chamor. You can live without kashmias. But park it outside the shul. Park it outside. There has to be a place in everybody's life of the nishtachave. Shul the chamor, the chamor. There has to be a place in everybody. There can't be a place in a person, there can't be a situation in a person's life that he doesn't have of the nishtachave when he doesn't take the chamor with him. There can't be such a thing. Even if you have Rav Avinu and you have complete shlita over the Chamor. Complete shlita over the Chamor. Complete. Complete shlita over the Chamor. Complete shlita over the Chamor. There has to be a situation of v'nishtachav v'nishuva. You come back to Rav Avinu.
You go to shul, you go to daven, there's no chamor. Even if you have a filter, even if you have a mirror, you're working on a chamor. Chamor stays there, chamor doesn't come to shul. Doesn't go to Beis Medrash. You have to have epis in your life where you're misyachid with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nashuva, taikanisht. It's there, it's not going anywhere. That's been a guy along with me. Yes. I want to tell you something. I'm going to tell you a surprising, controversial thing. I think the next door is not going to have this problem. I'm on tape, I know that. Why do I say that? I say it from history. When we were little kids growing up in New York, TV was rampant. The parents saw what the damage it did. They fought a crazy battle against it. Knocked it out pretty much. It was in Erlich Yid 30 years ago, I had a TV. Dalen forgot. Your kids and grandchildren are going to be much firmer. There's going to be such a horror in the next 20 years in our community that your kids in their marriages and their children are going to put a stop to this craziness. And they're going to stop watching YouTube kosher movies and stop playing ridiculous games and fantasy football because it's destroying our kids. I'm not worried about it. I'm very optimistic. There's going to be a horror. And then the elders are going to top themselves and say, listen, we're not going to have that a quarter of the kids in our communities are not going to make it to Yeshiva Gedolah. We're not going to have that the marriages are going to start to fall apart because nobody has anything to talk about with anybody and everybody's busy with Narishkeit. We're not going to put up with that, right? We have rejuvenation skills. And then next door, your kids will save it. Don't worry about it. That goes because you're going to have. Your kids will fix it. I'm no suffering about it. We're on the verge of a disaster. The disaster is starting. I'm seeing it already. And there'll be a shikul disaster, and I know your kids will fix it. That's the good side. If you want to save yourself the agvas nefesh, I would suggest start to make boundaries. I would go back to what my Rebbe Rabbi Rudin told me a few weeks ago in New York. He said, this is not an issue that starts in seventh grade when your daughter or your son says she wants a tablet. The question is, what type of house do you run? What's the chashivas in the house? You can't bring up a house where every Narishkeit that comes on your phone, you say, hey, little kid, look at this, it's beautiful. And then at seventh grade, when he wants a tablet, all of a sudden you have a heart attack and you come running to me. And yes, what should I do? That's what Billy Goody said. Where were you in first grade, in second grade, in third grade, in fourth grade, in fifth grade, in sixth grade? Did you bring up your kids with the right animals? Did you give them a message that were different, that was special? Did you create a happy and warm and loving and geschmacka house? Did you give them compensation for that, what they're going to be able to stand up to the rest of their class and be different? Do they have pride in what our family stands for? Is your home a happy home that you can get away with such a thing? And he says to me, and Yosef, you're asking me what they should do in seventh grade with a tablet? But just a copy said. That's the question. What happened to them? What type of house do you have? Do you have the ability to tell your kids no? Did you give them a trade-off that will stand up against the things on the street? What's going on the street doesn't interest us. The idol that's sitting here is Kodesh Kadosh. We have to protect our kids. We have to create houses where we're able to make boundaries with our kids. Now we're not talking about specific issues and we're not saying no on everything. That's not what we're talking about. But we have to show our kids everything that comes in. It's all kosher, by the way. We have to share with them the information. We have to explain. I didn't say yes, I didn't say no. But we can't make boundaries. We do want our kids to have seichel. We do want our kids to appreciate pnimius. We do want to have more intimacy in our marriage. And I'm not talking about in an intimate marriage. I'm talking about mitzat hisyachdus, mitzat the kirva, mitzat the kos. You don't think our kids will benefit from having higher quality, warmer, loving, closer marriages? They won't feel better about themselves. They won't learn better. They won't be better eaten. Of course they will. These are all things that we could do. We haven't even touched extremism or red lines or all or nothing. We can clean up our act. And if the call will go out tonight, and each of you will take 10 friends and tell them, stop it. You're just ruining your kids, and you're ruining your friends' kids. We'll be one step closer to Mashiach to the kingdom. May it remain a homie.